Hi, I'm Pastor Dallas Billington, Senior Pastor here at City Church, and we want to welcome you today to our services. We hope that no matter what you're facing in life, that through the message today, through God's Word, He will truly encourage your heart.
I'd like to take just a moment before we look to the message today, just give you a little update. Hopefully, and now we're down to just a couple weeks to get in our new facility. So thank you so much for all of you that were so, I mean, I can't thank you enough. Just gave your time, took work off. Lori did so much. She took days off of work. And Ben, I think, wore himself down. He pretty much has been our general contractor and over there day and night. So anyways, everything's come together. Carpet's all down, chairs are all down. There's close to 300 chairs almost that are down in the main sanctuary. Plus in the hallway, we're gonna have two big flat screen TVs. And yes, there will be tables out there. So just want you to know that. So just can't put your name on them, that's all. And so they'll be out there. Anyway, so that's all come together, and so when we do have overflow, we can get another probably 30 or 40 people. Even we have to, we'll have extra chairs right there. So it's amazing. Thank you. It's all of the Lord. So anyway, so hopefully in a couple weeks we'll be in there, but it's basically ready to go. Again, they come back from Indiana tomorrow, and they're going to tweak the sound and the lighting. Lori's dad finished a big cross that goes behind, like right here, that'll be behind me. And he finished the cross and put that up this week. So that will be lit also. So it really is amazing. Thank you, all of you, so much that for 10 years were patient, believed, trusted the Lord, and we really have seen a miracle. So let's pray. Father, Lord, I know without a doubt that you have given us that place. Many, many souls will be saved and baptized. And Lord, your church again will be built, will be furthered for your kingdom for eternity that lasts forever. So, and Lord, we know we are the church. And I have never taken, Lord, if I can say for granted to know that when I get up here and preach that so many people are hurting. And I just know that there's marriages here. I know that there are people that are out of work. Lord, health situations, people maybe that are in situations that are just lonely. I don't know what's completely going on, but I just pray that you would just touch hearts today to encourage them. Lord, we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I want to talk about what it means, even in a question mark, about gates, what it actually means in an open gate. And a gate, you know, can actually do one of two things. It keeps people in, or animals, if you will, or it keeps people out. It does one of two things, and we're going to look at that today in Matthew chapter 16 and verses 18 through 19. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 through 19. And I'm going to read just verse 18 for just a minute. And I also say to you, Jesus is speaking to Peter, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Meaning the foundation of the Word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. He says he will build his church. And the gates, gates of hell, of Hades, shall not prevail against it. You know, it is amazing to me, all of you, we all watch the same news. And whether it's on your phone, whether it's on your television, or whether you hear it on your radio or XM or whatever you have, it is amazing to me when you actually see what is happening in our world. If most of you've seen or have seen the I want to say looting, the mass looting, not shooting, but the mass looting where groups of people go into these stores and they just take as much as they can. And now I guess, I don't know, some stores have policies or whatever. You don't try and go after them for some reason. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could actually stand back and watch that. But and then if you saw like how an Apple store is set up to where they just went in, a guy went in and just started ripping all the phones and everything you could think of, anything that had to do with Apple, and was just carrying them, and everybody was just looking like, you know, they're scared of death. You know, what's going on here? And that's kind of what we feel like in our society. Like, what is, you know, the gates of hell, they are, in what we're living in, they are opening more. And I don't like to say that. But you're here today to be aware. We're not, yes, we're here as a fellowship. We have joy and we enjoy each other. But we're here to be. I feel in many ways. I'm here to inform you. That's what I feel like my responsibility is, and it's your responsibility to take God's word out and grow this week in His word. But to inform, to just kind of kickstart to really feel what is. Where are we? Where are we is we're getting closer and closer to the Lord coming back. And as it gets closer, the devil, we know, and Revelation says he's working overtime. And I don't have to convince you or me that he's working overtime in your life, in my life. All of us, we know. We every one of you has a different story today on how the devil is doing whatever he can to hurt you or destroy you or discourage you. It's coming hard. Those gates are opening more. What keeps that pushback? The church. The church, you, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is you. And I say this from time to time. I want all of you to be aware of it is unique. The rest of the world does not have the Holy Spirit living within them. You do as a believer. Someone over in Europe or in the Philippines, or maybe as a believer, yes. As the Holy Spirit is living within them, absolutely. So that's all over the world. But that Holy Spirit in you is pushing back the evil. Okay? But why is it so prevalent today? Because the devil's working overtime. And I just want you to realize that what we read, that Jesus can't be stopped, okay? And that's to encourage you, to let you know the devil can't win. His church. It hits personally home to me. That's why I want to share this with you today. Well, once again, my heritage, and about a third of you, your heritage too, the temple was, the Baptist temple was in the front page of the paper that my grandfather started, and my dad pastored, and I was there, but it was on the front page of the paper again, and it's been that way on and off for the last 3 or 4 years, and a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, a lot of text messages to me, and people are upset because of if you do drive by there, it's like a war zone. What has happened to the building? And it discouraged me on just this one aspect. And many of you have family members that were either firemen, policemen, or rubber workers, worked at the tire factories. Okay. Those three groups of people, more than anything else, really built the temple, okay? You could work two shifts, if you remember that, if you had parents working at the rubber shops, and then those two shifts, they were usually six-hour shifts. And I can remember many of the conversations when I grew up at the temple that they would actually work overtime so they could give more to build those buildings. And that's what kind of discourages me, but then I'm reminded, though, when I get mad about it, it is a building, but I want you to get this because I want you to see it for your own life. If you don't know the history of the temple, 1981, the buildings, the other huge sanctuary was completely destroyed by a fire, just completely. And I remember at the time, as my dad was pastoring, the only thing he could tell me was that there were 12 agents came in from Washington, D.C., alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, and went through every bit of rubble for a week, everything. They walked through back and forth through that whole place over and over and over again. The only thing that they would tell my dad, it was some type of explosive that was put on way above the choir loft, and when it blew, all that ceiling was wood, and it was wrapped with a kind of a liquid Vaseline, and whatever, when it blew, anything that was on fire in that Vaseline just caught onto the wood of the ceiling. All the ceiling was completely engulfed in flames, and then it just fell down into the sanctuary and completely destroyed it with the fire. Now we have, and that's all that they would tell my dad at the time. It's still to this day an open case. It's still open of who or what or what took place. So now we have now, and you go and you see it. I was talking to myself, and actually, like, not because it's me or my heritage, I don't know of another mega church that not only once, but twice, it's been completely destroyed. I had to go to a meeting at downtown Akron, and the mayor's office was there, the police officers were there, all these are head people in the police department, and the assistant fire chief and someone else who was there, who some of the council members. And we talked over several things, and I got up to speak after it was done. The meeting was all over. The one assistant fire chief grabbed my arm. He said, "Hey, Dallas, can I talk to you?" He said, "Hey, I just want you to know I'm sorry. I'm just sorry to see what, you know, your family and what has happened and what took place in the building." And I told him, you know, I appreciate that. And this is what they told me now out there, okay? If you know anything about buildings, under roof there, Manchester Road, 265,000 square feet under roof, okay? And he told me there was not one place that's not been vandalized. Not one. Now, okay, you know, I've gotten used to knowing what has taken and happened, and I'm not, you know, yeah, am I a little angry about all of it? Of course. But I want you to know today, as you drive by and see that, now that is twice that has happened. It is a building. And a lot of people are upset because it's sentimental. They were saved there, baptized there, met their spouses there, and so forth. I get that. I want you to see that. Reason I'm talking about it today, we're getting ready to move into a new facility. I want you to know that you are the church, but I want you to have a picture of how hard the devil came at the temple, not once but twice, to destroy it. Why? Because people's lives were changed for eternity. Now let's take it into your life, because that's why I said what I just did. In your life, as that is a picture, that's how hard he's coming at you. Please, you get a chance, drive by there sometime this week, because they're hoping by the end of March to start knocking it down. So if you get a chance, drive by there and see the damage that the devil can do. But guess what? It's only the building. We are the church. The devil hates who you are. If you're here today as a family, he hates that nucleus, that strength. If you're here today as a solid believer, as a man or a woman, he can't stand as a young person. He just can't. The devil hates it. So as you see that building and you've seen it in the paper, I want you to know that that's how hard he's coming at you. The gates are open and the devil is working overtime on you, on your marriage and your personal life, to question you, to make you doubt and discouraged. We've never had a time where more young people are trying to take their own life. Those gates are open. But what does Jesus tell us as the church? You, me, the Holy Spirit within our life. Verse 19. This is us. This is you. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound. On earth will be bound. And in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What is the Lord saying to you and me? What he's saying to us today, I want you to understand this. What he's telling you today, what he's telling me today is that you and I, all right, I want you to get this. The keys. There's a gate. There's gates. There's keys. There's you and me as a believer. As a believer, you now have the authority of heaven to come down, and Jesus and his angels to fight your battles. You see that? I want you to get that. The keys of the kingdom, as a young person, or if you're here 70 years old or whatever your age is, doesn't matter. If you're here today as a believer and you're fighting, I want, as you fight those battles, I want you to know that you have the keys. And someone says, hey, can you unlock that door for me? And whatever it is spiritually, you can open that door. Or, I want you to get this, or you can lock it. You can actually keep the devil out of your family if you want to. See, he wants to go along and you can tease along the way, if you know what I mean. Flirting, whatever it is you want to put in there, going on, you know, you fill in the blank whatever your temptations are. And you can go along with that. Or you can take the key and you can lock it. And the devil has to flee. But those gates are open now. And I'm telling you, we're living in a time that we never thought that we would live in. I just want you to know that you are in an area of your life, even though you might feel defeated, you can see victory. Through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit within you, it's not buildings. You are the church. Jesus Christ and his church. I will build. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell can't stop it. And you as a believer, you have the keys. Whatever you need to lock or unlock, whatever you need to close or open, I'd say I'm going to be there with you. How's he going to do that? Well, let's look at another verse. In Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3 and verses 7 through 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David. In other words, the kingdom, the powerful kingdom on this earth and one that lasts forever. He who has the key of David, for David's kingdom was so powerful in the Old Testament. He who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. This is for you. Please listen to this. I know you. Jesus says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength, but you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Say, Dallas, man, I know I got the keys, and I know I have God's word, and I know I have the Holy Spirit within me, but man, I just feel like, man, this is a battle. And you fill in a blank where it is in your life. This is a battle. I mean, this is not stopping. And you fill in, has it been a year? Has it been 5 years? Has it been 10 years? It just seems like it won't stop. Jesus put those words in there for you. You have a little strength left. Just enough to see the door open, but you can't get there. Isn't that amazing when you're going through what you're going through? You know, somehow, some way that, man, I know the Lord is here. I know his word. I know what it says. I'm going to help me. But, man, I just don't know if I can get there. I'm almost there, but I don't have any strength left. That's exactly what he's saying there. And Jesus is telling you today, whether it's your job situation, whether it's your home, whether it's your kids as teenagers, I don't know what it is, or just trying to figure life out. God's saying to you, I give you the keys, and you can open those doors, and you can lock them. And at the same time, when the battle gets so fierce in your life, that door, Jesus is that door, that you're wondering, when is it gonna happen? Jesus says, it's already open. All he wants you to do is to see him, is to see Jesus. Not your problems, not your bank account, not your circumstances, not your mate. He wants you to see him. Lord, can you fight that, please? I don't have much strength left. He says, yeah. Without any hesitation, because you are his child. I'm going to do that. You know what he says so many times, the Old Testament, and then we'll close in a minute. He says, all I want you to do is just wait. You know, the greatest battle in your life and my life might be, it always is to wait. That might be your most difficult battle, is to wait. This is going on again and again. And when is this going to change? And the Lord's saying, this is what he says. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he says to you and to me today, you must be willing to believe who he is. He is the one who calms the waters. He is the one who created this universe. He is the one who came and put himself on a cross and died for the sins of the world and rose again 3 days later. He is the one who knows you and everything about you. And on his strength and his authority. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You and I must believe that I have to hold on to my faith. I have to see him. And it says, if I'm willing to believe who he is and what he says all about him in here, that he is a rewarder. Amen. In that verse. Of those, see, it's not everybody. See, because certain believers that I know along the way, and that you do too, I don't know where they are. They quit. They gave up. I said, the Lord's taking too long. And he said, but when we believe who he is a rewarder of those. Of those, you, if you're willing, of those who diligently, that means with a focus, who diligently are willing to come to him again and again and again. Can you do that? The door's open. It's open. You know, even those, even for those who've quit as believers, do you know that door is still open? The Lord loves his backslidden children so much, he still has the door open if they're just willing to get up, see him, trust him. A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's a truth. That's real. That's for you. I want you to know, no matter who you are, whether you're in high school or whether you're retired or wherever you're at, do not give up. And if you are willing to believe who he is, just the same as City Church, that you are willing to believe 10 years, how the Lord has practically given us this building, that's you. The Lord working, that's you. You are willing to believe that the Lord is going to do something. Please take it into your personal life, into your marriage, into your job. The Lord does that for us. You are the church. He will do it for you. Let me close with this. We're here for a reason. And I'll talk more about this in a couple weeks, but we're here for a reason. We are here to be a part of building God's church. There are people in your life that don't have the security that you have. And you know what is amazing? We've got to reach them, because you know why? Man, our life is a vapor. And those gates are open. But they're only open and then our life is over. And that other person's life's over. It's the door is open. We want to reach them. The devil is destroying people all around us that we love. Listen, though, to be encouraged as we close today, what Jesus says about heaven and about gates. Revelation 21, verse 22 through 25, and we'll close. But I saw in heaven, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, Jesus Christ, are its temple. The city had no need of a sun or a moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb, Jesus, is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk. It is amazing. Man, the devil hates when Jesus is getting through. Just the same as he clicked that off, he's going to do whatever he can to knock you off of when you're seeing Jesus in the midst of your adversity. Stay focused. But you know what's great? And I close with this. The gates in heaven, and time is over for all eternity. All the gates are open. Amen. There's no night. I'll never be cold again. Isn't it amazing? You know, it is going to be so amazing. You're going to see everybody in my immediate family is in heaven. Just me, okay? I'm going to see them all. You're going to see all your family again real soon. And the way, and I close with this, the reason that the good Lord has given us that building is to reach people for heaven. Why that gate is still open. And the same as that is open and you can see Jesus, the gates of hell have opened too. So those people are hurting that you and I know and that we love. Let's do what we can to give them what we have, what the Lord's given us. Let's pray. As our heads are bowed, as we always do, and You know, we've had, I just want you to know this as our heads are about it. We've had some, lately, several people accept Christ as their Savior after this service. So I want you to know the invitation is always open. Someone is here, and we want you to come forward and publicly and accept Christ as we give an invitation or over the airways or the internet. But the invitation's always open to you that are watching right now. I want you to know that door's open right now. No matter what's happened, what has happened in your life, what you have done, the damage that the devil's trying to do, but Jesus loves you. He's got a plan. He still has a door open that he wants you to walk through. And all you have to do is pray with me. See, so many people believe, but you have to trust. So will you trust him right now? Trust Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Just pray this prayer with me, because it says, by faith, I ask Jesus into my heart. Pray this sinner's prayer with me. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross, for your sins and for mine. Jesus, I don't understand everything, but I watched today and listened, and I know that you're knocking on the door of my heart. And so, Jesus, with my mouth, from my heart, Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. And right now, I believe that you died on a cross for all of my sins. Jesus, will you come in to my heart to forgive me for all of my sins, to cleanse me, to save me? Thank you, Jesus. And from this day forward, help me to live by your resurrection power. Jesus, we thank you. Lord, if there's someone here today as we give an invitation, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, may they come forward and I can open up your word. And they too can have their name written down, just like someone who has already prayed. They can have their name written down in heaven. And we will dwell with you forever. And you will give them the keys to this life to live successfully with peace, with joy. Lord, we ask you, just give this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has spoke to you today through his word. You know, no matter what you go through, no matter what you face in life, I want you to know that through the one, Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross of Calvary, he shed his perfect blood for you and for me. And if you pray right now and ask Jesus into your heart, the message that you heard today, why God is speaking to you, I want you to know that you can have hope. And all you have to do is pray with me right now. Don't try and figure it out. The Lord says, by faith, we accept Jesus as our Savior, and you'll have hope for eternity. You say, Dallas, will you help me? What do I have to do? Well, let me share with you a verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're willing to believe that God sent his Son to die on a cross for you, just pray this prayer with me right now. And you can have heaven as your home. Jesus will forgive you for anything you've done in this life. And you can have hope from this day forward. Pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, forgive me a sinner. I believe that you're God's Son. And you came and lived a perfect life. And you died on the cross. And you shed your perfect blood for all of my sin. And right now, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, to forgive me for all of my sins, and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And from this day forward, help me to live by your resurrection power. In Jesus' name. If you've prayed that prayer, we want to hear from you. Contact us through our website, City Church AC, or you can get it our church app through any of the streaming services, and we want you to know that we'll contact you. And from this day forward, no matter what you face, you'll always have hope, knowing that Jesus is your Savior, and He'll come through in your life. Thank you for being with us today.